This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Philip Orthodox Church in Davie, Florida. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures 2020 and today 241 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis, and today is August 29. Our readings today will be from the Song of Songs, chapters 7 and 8, Psalm 51, Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. We will be finishing the Song of Songs today, and as I have said before, there are different ways, different lenses, in which we can look at this book. On the surface, it is a love poem between a man and a woman. For the Jews, it was a portrayal of God's love for his people, the Jewish people. And for Christians, it has been seen as an allegory of Christ's love for his bride, the church. And each of these three approaches is true. We don't have to pick one or the other. Any successful relationship in marriage or in relationship with God is an all-consuming thing. Even St. Paul, who wasn't even married, knew how all-consuming marriage was. And a successful relationship must have both parties committed to working through life's ups and downs. And those of us who are married know that. It's the same with our relationship with God. The only difference is that God is always committed, and we are less so. So the Song of Songs is a beautiful poem describing this commitment. So let's begin. Song of Songs, chapters 7 and 8. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, and we will look at you. What will you see in the Shulamite, she who comes as the troops of armies? Why are your feet beautiful in your sandals, O daughter of Nadab? The curves of your thighs are like small necklaces, the work of a skilled craftsman. Your navel is like an elaborate bowl, not lacking mixed wine. Your stomach is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, the twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like a tower of ivory, and your eyes are like pools of Heshbon by the gates of a daughter of many. Your nose is like the tower of Lebanon, pointing towards Damascus. Your head crowns you like Carmel, and the locks of your hair are like a purple garment. The king is held captive by your curls. How beautiful and how sweet you are, O love, with your delights. This greatness of yours is like the palm tree, and your breasts like a cluster of grapes. I said, I will climb up the palm tree and grasp hold of its high branches. Indeed, your breasts shall be like clusters of the vine, and the fragrance of your nose like apples, and your mouth like a good wine that goes down smoothly for my beloved, fit for my lips and teeth. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us rise early in the morning in the vineyards. Let us see if the vine has flowered, if the blossoms have appeared, if the pomegranates have blossomed. There I will give you my breasts. The mandrakes have put forth an aroma, and fruits of all kinds, new and old, are at our doors. O my beloved, I have kept them for you. Who would have granted you, my brother, to nurse at my mother's breasts? I would have found you outside, I would have kissed you, and no one would despise me. Then I would take you along and lead you to my mother's house, into the chamber of her who conceived me. I would give you spiced wine to drink, the juice of my pomegranates. His left hand would be under my head,
and his right hand would embrace me. I implore you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the hosts and powers of the field, do not rouse nor wake my love until he wishes. Who is she who comes up, is made white, and leans on her beloved? Under an apple tree I raised you up. There your mother travailed in labor for you. There she who travailed in labor for you gave you birth. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as Hades. Her sparks are sparks of fire, even the flames thereof. Much water will not be able to quench love, nor will rivers drown it. If a man should give all his possessions for love, men would utterly despise them. Our sister is small and has no breasts. What will we do for our sister in the day when she is spoken for? If she is a wall, let us build silver battlements upon her. And if she is a door, let us carve cedar panels for her. I am a wall, and my breasts are as towers. I was in his eyes as one who found peace. Solomon had a vineyard in Baal Hamon. He entrusted his vineyard to keepers. A man was to bring 1,000 silver coins for its fruit. My vineyard before me is mine. O Solomon, you shall have 1,000, and those who keep its fruit, 200. You who dwell in the gardens, the companions give heed to your voice. Cause me to hear. Escape, my beloved, and be like the gazelle or the fawn of a deer on the mountains of spices.
Psalm 51.
When Doeg the Edomite came and reported to Saul and said, David went to the house of Abimelech. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man, and in lawlessness all the day long? Your tongue devises wrongdoing, your work deceit like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, wickedness rather than speaking righteousness. You love all the works of destruction, you love a deceitful tongue. Therefore God shall destroy you completely. He shall pluck you up and remove you from your dwelling, and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, Behold, this man did not make God his helper, but hoped in the abundance of his riches, and he was made powerful in his vanity. But I am like a fruitful olive tree in the house of God. I hope in God's mercy, forever and unto ages of ages. I will give thanks to you forever for what you did, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the sight of your holy ones.
Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 5.
Deceitful scales are an abomination before the Lord, but a righteous weight is acceptable to him. Wherever arrogance enters, there also is dishonor. But the mouth of the humble meditates on wisdom. When a righteous man dies, he leaves regret. But the destruction of the ungodly is immediate and brings joy. Righteousness cuts straight and blameless paths, but ungodliness embraces wrongdoing. The righteousness of upright men delivers them, but lawless men are taken to their destruction.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples,
to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Paul is warning his people that they should not neglect to be watchful. Now that we are in the faith, we need to work the faith. We enter the faith to be faithful. And he was concerned about the people in Corinth that although they had entered the faith, they were not living faithfully. People were griping and falling into temptations. They weren't being watchful. They were not caring for the gift of grace that was given to them. Listen to what Saint Theophan the Recluse had to say about watchfulness. Since the enemy watches you constantly, waiting for an opportunity to sow evil in you, be doubly watchful over yourself, lest you fall in the nets spread for you. As soon as he shows you some fault in your neighbor, hasten to repel this thought, lest it take root in you and grow. Cast it out, so that no trace is left in you, and replace it by the thought of the good qualities you know your neighbor to possess, or of those people generally should have. If you still feel the impulse to pass judgment, add to this the truth that you are given no authority for this, and that the moment you assume this authority, you thereby make yourself worthy of judgment and condemnation, not before powerless men, but before God, the all-powerful judge of all. This reversal of thoughts is the strongest means, not only for repelling accidental critical thoughts, but also for completely freeing yourself of this vice. Brothers and sisters, without watchfulness, we fall into judgmentalism and a multitude of sins, and most of all, we forget God. Be aware of this and be watchful. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. You can always find us at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. That's dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.